This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Appreciate you hanging out with us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. We've got more stuff to do, more baseball stuff before we get out of here as well. We're going to talk with Neil Kotz at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to talking with the former Cub and White Sox, Neil Kotz, about his friend Bobby Jenks. And there's a lot to discuss there. We've also got more football stuff to discuss. One football story that is relatable for a lot of different reasons, but this football story has to do with your Chicago Bears. And here we are. We're 9 days away from rookies reporting to camp.
Thank you for doing that math, that calendar math. 9 days away. I and others have every once in a while poked around. Every once in a while, we'll be talking to Jason Leisure. I'll be listening to some other dudes or reading around and be like, are they going to sign a running back? Are they going to add an edge rusher? Like, what are they doing? Like, you got some time right now to really be checking out the existing free agents, because there are quite a few street free agents out there.
You can check out the street free agents, and what I imagine what the Bears are also going to do is, let's look around the league. Are there guys that end up getting cut that we might have a higher grade on, or think that with the proper coaching, they might be able to get to a better level? It was funny, Speech, because I was looking at a list yesterday of, it was ESPN went and talked to front office people, players, and coaches about the top 10 defensive tackles in the league. And I was like, oh, okay, there have been a lot of good grades, and people want to tell me all about Jervon Dexter. Like, does he end up on this list? And he didn't. And 10's a pretty high mark, but they went deeper into the list. And I'm sitting there going, there aren't any Bears on this list at that position. And I think that if you have some beef with how the Bears went about building their defense, I think defensive end is probably more in question.
I think so.
But defensive tackle is something that you can look at. Would you like to know the top 10?
Of the defensive tackles
that are out there? Some of them you can probably guess.
Sure. Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
Cam Hayward at number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Vita Vea. Man, Vita Vea. Go look up Vita Vea's high school tape. That's all I'm going to say. DeForest Buckner at 8.
Wow, still.
Yeah. Nnamdi Matabuke is at number 7. Leonard Williams at 6. Quinnen Williams at 5. Jeffrey Simmons, we saw him up close last year at the beginning of the season with the Titans, number 4. Jalen Carter, number 3.
Number 3.
Behind Chris Jones and Dexter Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, those are pretty good. So Jalen Carter only behind two Hall of Famers to be.
Yeah, so then I was like, all right, well, this thing goes on. Let me see if he's down there somewhere in the honorable mention or others receiving votes category.
No, not yet.
And he was not.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that. They got some needs in that way. Are you forever going to think that the Jalen Carter thing should have happened? Like, does atmosphere, roster, mentorship, framework of an organization, because that does change. It changed my perspective then, and it changes my perspective now.
I do think that those are all things that should be considered, especially when you're talking about like the first year for a player. But he's become like, I felt like his talent was so unique and something that you desperately needed that it was worth it. Now, the thing is that if Jalen Carter's here, they might have been a better team, and then you don't end up getting rid of Flus, but whatever. I think that when you're talking about a guy who potentially is the number one pick in the draft and you could get him at 9, I think you got to take him. But I lost that war, and the Bears moved on from it. I thought it was – but and I'm not doing hindsight. I said this on draft night. It's documented. I was on TV talking about this.
I said, ooh, TV.
Yeah. Back in the day when I used to do television. I only do radio.
No, it's not true. You just did Fox last week.
Yeah, but that's as a guess, and we appreciate when they ask us. But, you know, I think they might have retired me from TV speaks. I might be out.
Who, Fox the other night?
No, I mean, like, the industry. I might just be out.
The industry's retired a lot of people from TV.
Yeah.
It's a different...
It's a safer place, though.
Well, yeah, it's a different kind of thing. I mean, a couple years ago, just as a sidetrack, I had like 4 different irons in the fire at one place, and now all those irons are out of the fire.
Yes.
They're cooling on a cooling rack. Very touchable,
those irons.
It's
weird, though, because I actually think the radio, sports radio in particular right now, is actually a pretty good place to be, safer than some of the TV jobs. And, you know, I would love to be able to recreate what we did on the football after show, but now everyone is scattered. Mm. Everyone's doing different things, so that makes it difficult.
So I'm thinking, like, are they going to sign anybody? And there's a few options that we should discuss, but I'm reminded of the last time Brad Biggs was on. And because Biggs said, this is in May. I believe this is in, or April even. I think it is May. It is May. The 5th month of the year is May, people. Breaking news. And Brad Biggs said...
Is that what that was? I was like, I know for sure I wrote it on there. I know it's not the same spot in the dots.
It's a 5. It's me not knowing for sure if 5 is May. It's all right. My dad and my sister's birthdays are right there in May, and still I struggle. I work in sports, Tanny. You know? You know what I mean? This is what
it is fun with numbers.
So much prep went into the first council question, and he just fired it right back at my ass. It's crazy.
It's not the first time we've had him on. You should know that by now.
Fun with numbers. Yeah, we like to have fun with numbers. Craig, sorry you don't, buddy. Anyway, here's Brad Biggs with M&H talking about what the Bears roster might look like. This was back in May, and how long it might take.
And there's a ton of reason for optimism. I just, when you're looking at the total picture, when you're considering a lot of factors, I think they probably end up somewhere around 500. And I could be wrong. I mean, they could go bonkers like they did under Matt Nagy in 2018.
Right.
I've got some questions about the defense. Guys, this defense last year, 28th against the run, 31st in opponents' yards per attempt. Okay, they've got 8 starters back from that unit. Like, it was a mediocre defense a year ago, and so you're saying new voice, new scheme. Yeah, that can have an impact, but that defense wasn't good last year, And a lot of the conversation about Ben Johnson is centered around the offense, and as it should. But there's just, like, before you get carried away with your win predictions and your thoughts,
I think there's some fair questions.
Are they short a linebacker, Brad?
Yes, they are. That's legitimate. They don't have a strong side linebacker right now.
I don't care.
They really don't.
You know as well as I do, you can go down to the same linebacker store and find one of those.
That store 24/7, is it open? Because you got running backs in there.
No.
Offensive linemen are picked off the shelf.
I would check the dates on some of them, but yeah.
You can get an after-hours appointment.
Well, we know you know a guy who knows a guy.
All right, Lawrence Holmes has been shaking his head since the middle of that answer.
I am 100% with Biggs on that. Like, let's – strong side linebacker in 2025 NFL, you probably have a guy on your roster that can do that job already.
Noah Sewell.
Maybe whoever, but yeah, that's a good place to start.
I'm just saying you got guys you can throw at that job.
It is that position historically has been a role that can be just a guy on a defense.
Yeah.
And now more so than ever, because offenses are in 11 personnel 72% of the time, that guy is barely on the field. So I'm not worried. If you want to ask the question about the guy who plays middle linebacker for the Bears, I'm here for that.
You can go down to the same linebacker store.
And whether or not he is played up to expectation or to his contract,
sure,
that's fine. But I don't want to hear anything about a Sam linebacker in 2025 NFL play.
Well, I want to hear about it because there's a store. I didn't know there was a store.
Oh, yeah. You can go down to the Sam linebacker store.
So, I mean, the Sam linebacker store, I mean,
only Sam Acho is there.
Ray says it's Sam's Club, actually. Buy him in bulk.
I mean, specific positions need specific kind of, you know, shopping facilities.
You're not going to go to the offensive line store.
See, that's the thing. Big Z knows about the offensive line store, although he says you're not going to go there. Why? Is it far away? Is it tough to get to?
It's very expensive.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the problem with the offensive line store.
The prices are prohibitive.
The costs are up because the guys that you need, they never make it to the store.
Yeah, the quality's not great either.
Yeah, and if you have to ask the price at the offensive line store, you probably shouldn't be in there.
You're not
going to
go to the offensive line store or the running back store.
So are we developing a mini mall? Is there an NFL positional mini mall that's being developed?
And yes, it's in Canton.
I thought it was in Gurnee Mills.
No, it's in Canton.
I thought it was up there. You got Six Flags and you just take a left and you get some positions.
Now you got to go all the way to Canton if you're going to try and find someone in the store.
You can go down to the same linebacker store.
Down at the running back store.
You're not going to go to the offensive line store.
I didn't know there was a running back store. We're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere now.
I don't know if you need to go to that store either.
I hope that mini mall has a Chinese food place. Because, like, Chinese food joints at the little mini mall, it's so dependable, exactly what it is.
I need an Auntie Annie's there. I mean, you get yourself a pretzel.
Oh, man, let's go.
Right? Yeah. If we're talking about a mall.
Pretzel dogs right there. But not
you
like
know
a
they
full,
have one downstairs.
But I'm not talking about, like, Oak Brook or something like that. Mall.
I'm talking about, like, something you can find at the Oasis, man. what's the restaurant that's connected to the Oasis? And maybe there's a running back store there.
Are these stores in the Pedway? Like, is there an offensive line store down
there's
underneath
a lot,
the building?
There's a lot down there. I'll say that much.
There is a lot.
There literally is a Macy's down there.
It's crazy.
So
when you walk through some of that stuff,
there might be a linebacker store that I just walked past on my way to the blue line.
See, I always preferred Jerry Angelo's idea of where you grew tackles.
Tackle tree.
Yeah, I think it was where, like, instead of grapes out there as you're getting wine, you're finding yourself some other stuff. Like, there's other ways. Brad is working with the mini mall.
There's no vineyard out there where they're growing left tackles.
I mean, I liked picturing the tackle vineyard very much because somebody is walking down the rows of the trees and being like, oh, my God, look at that.
Unfortunately, Alex Leatherwood is there.
Well, one of those trees had Tony Boselli. That's where Tony Boselli came from. That is. You didn't know that.
That and Valhalla.
Seriously.
That's a guy who can play.
All right. So the Sam linebacker story. I'm so glad we got to this.
It's Alex Leatherwood. I mean, yeah, please. I know. That's the scrap heap.
Tony Wise telling you the truth. Oh, he was right, too. He was really correct.
Yeah, he was.
Man. All right. So
I also tried to tell people about that. Like, this is not a good idea.
Alex Leatherwood.
I watched him every week.
At Bama.
And I'm like, he's a really good college player that's not a good pro. Not a good pro prospect.
And that's what happened. So because they've got needs, Lawrence. They've got running back needs.
Do they though? What are their running back needs? You can't be the Kyle Manungai guy and also say that they have needs.
The Kyle Manungai guy. Yeah, I don't believe a ton in DeAndre Swift.
Right, but Kyle Manungai was supposed to be the...
Yeah, we're hoping Kyle Manungai becomes Kyle Manung dude, you know?
He's got to work on the old man feet, according to Eric Bieniemy.
I want everyone to steel themselves for Kyle Manungai to get cut.
What are you talking about?
Seventh round picks get cut.
Yeah, but seventh round picks sometimes start and play in the Super Bowl.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that.
Well, that's the thing.
If he gets cut, don't be like, oh my God, I can't believe they cut a seventh round pick at running back.
Well, if that's what you're if you're saying that's possible, then they do have running back needs.
Or they don't have running back needs.
Because why?
Because they found someone else that they like.
Who, Roschon Johnson? Or you mean some other undrafted free agent that they bring in?
It could be Roschon Johnson, maybe with better. So. I don't think so either.
That's my issue, is that I don't think.
That's another one of those picks where you go, really?
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I'm with you on that. I don't think it. I don't think Roschon Johnson is somebody who's going to get... going to get reps and touches in a Ben Johnson offense. I don't think that's a fit. So, yeah, that's why I keep thinking about Ian Wheeler or, like, you know, other people who might be around, like Leary. He's around. But, like, they need somebody else. Who's the third back? I don't know who the third back is, and these guys are going to get hurt. It's Roschon right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Travis Homer?
Sure.
So I think they do have running back needs, but I think they're going to wait. I think they're going to wait and hang around. How about edge rusher? You want to take another flyer at Matthew Judon, who's still a free agent? There were rumors he was going back to New England, but he's still a free agent right now. Do you think this team needs a one-year flyer on a free agent veteran edge rusher?
How much does he cost?
I don't know.
Because that's kind of where I'm at on Judon. I really wish that they would have gone to the defensive end store and went and found someone to give him some help. Now, they would tell you we did. We got Dio Odingbo. Mm-hmm. That's who we brought in. His production has not been as good as what people think that production could be. And maybe the one quibble I would have with Biggs, if he and I were talking ball, is even though I think Matt Eberflus is a pretty solid defensive coordinator, I think Dennis Allen is better than him. So from that standpoint alone, I think there's a better guy commanding the defense and designing it. And that might make your defense better than the sum of its parts.
Oh, I think that's expected and hoped for. So I think you're right. I'm hoping that we come out of this season going, man, look at all the production from these dudes we never heard of, which is sometimes how it feels with a Brian Flores defense. You're like, who? What? How? Because it's the same kind of reputation for Dennis Allen, creating pressure with scheme and with multiple people who are not your classic edge rushers. So maybe that's why Maybe that's why they don't think they need a Matthew Judon. But they did. Ryan Poles was into it. Poles was into the idea of Matthew Judon, and we learned that from last year in the preseason with Hard Knocks.
He's got some things working, huh?
Yeah.
Think we'll get it over the finish line?
I do.
Yeah.
Our language is basically saying if the contract's not signed, then he reverts back to New England.
Got it.
Cover, so.
What do we get?
It'd be a 3. So all that would happen fast.
Yeah, okay. So. Just keep posting.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So they were working on it.
And you know, he kind of talked out of it, and I think that ended up being the right move, looking at the year that Judon had. It would have been a nice move to add him, but turns out your season didn't warrant it.
This from Albert Breer in his latest mailbag. He was asked, will the Bears look to add the running back or edge position before the season starts? Are they happy with what they have? His answer, I think that's all relative to what's out there. They'll get a look at DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson and Montez Sweat and Dio Odengbo, who plays inside on sometimes on passing downs. And then maybe consider guys as Jamal Williams at running back or Za'Darius Smith or Matthew Judon as edge rushers. Jamal Williams and Za'Darius Smith, both with Detroit bona fides that Ben Johnson can speak on.
My guy Clay Harbor has been talking about Za'Darius Smith as a Bear. Interesting concept for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We've loaded them up. We've tried a number of different things. Long play calls, multiple plays at the line. We've dabbled here, tempo. We've dabbled here, there, and everywhere, really throughout the springtime. And some comes a little bit more natural than others for them. But I do think we've seen them get better in really all facets. And so we'll have to sit down as a staff before we leave and when we come back just to make sure we're honed in on what direction we want to go all together. But I feel pretty confident the things that he's put on tape that we can go ahead and get after a little bit.
Mully and Haw, Dan Wiederer in this morning for David. Dan with the Chicago Tribune covers the Bears, does a a great job of that, and your coverage is excellent between you and Big Z, and now Sean Hammond has joined the crew, so that's fun to see, and it will be a really, I mean, it's right around the corner, I have to tell you, because we've talked about what a bear season is when you're covering a team. It is it's the beginning of a very long kind of march to hopefully the playoffs, but you never know. I mean, this could be a year where the Bears improve quite a bit because of the guy we're just listening to there, Ben Johnson, but nothing guaranteed in that, on that front.
Well, first of all, we were at a gathering over the 4th of July weekend, and at least a half a dozen people reminded me how close the start of training camp is. And I said, listen, July 15th is when you're allowed to say that to me, because I'm still trying to squeeze the last drops of summer out before we check into camp. But I will say, listening to that clip from Ben Johnson reminded me of how smitten I was in the spring of listening to him at a podium talk about things. He's been to this point very detailed, very open. You learn something every day that he's up there. And I think we're all eager to get to Halas Hall and watch how his first training camp as a head coach unfolds. Obviously, the work with Caleb is at the top of the menu. And you heard from him there talking about how they dumped a lot on both Caleb and the entire offense in the spring. And now comes the point here in this little bridge where then you've got to kind of define what direction you want to go in July and August, and then articulate that when they get back and start establishing direction. Because if you don't have direction by the time we get into to mid to late August, we know where those seasons can end up, because we have both covered a lot of those seasons that end up places that we didn't want them to go.
I got to tell you, I think what's so impressive about what the Bears did in hiring Ben Johnson is that they got a guy who has a chance.
Yeah,
I don't want to say, oh, they got the greatest young coach. Maybe the top dog on the market, right, in terms of young coach with a chance to be, whether you're a Sean McVay guy or you love you know, Shanahan, but he's got a chance to be that kind of a head coach. Mm-hmm. Doesn't guarantee anything, doesn't mean anything, but there are qualities to what, when you listen to him and when he talks about the game and how he seems to understand so much about professional football, that there are definitely real positives there. And the Bears, you know, went after the top dog, paid top dollar, and got the guy. Now, there are still other issues going on.
No question.
This is hardly a finished product. And you hear him talk about it. You're throwing a lot of stuff on people, and you're waiting to see how well they can digest it. And how well, and I mean, I guess I'm talking about the quarterback. It's going to come down to the relationship between the coach and the quarterback at some point.
That's it. I'm writing a big training camp primer for the start of camp in a couple of weeks. And one of the main things in there is this person that I call Ben and Caleb, because they have to become one, right? Yep. Like, we're going to talk a lot about Ben Johnson's leadership. We're going to talk a lot about Caleb Williams' growth through training camp. But the synergy between the two of them is everything to where the season goes. And it's got to start immediately in the first practice of training camp and continue to build through July and August. Caleb Williams has raised his hand and said, I want to be coached really hard. And Ben Johnson has said, oh, yeah, watch this, right?
Like,
And so now you have to, you know the old saying in journalism, if your mother says she loves you, check it out, right? And so, like, Caleb says he wants to be coached hard, check it out. Let's see how hard he wants to be coached, and can he handle some of the demands that Ben Johnson and his staff are going to put on him. They've got a long way to go. They think they've got a lot to work with the skill set.
Yeah.
And now it's all about kind of molding that offense around Caleb and not trying to take what was very successful for Jared Goff in Detroit and force it into Caleb's plate. And so that's going to be fascinating to kind of watch that evolve through the 6 weeks of camp. By the way, with a couple crossover practices at Halas Hall mixed in, which I think will be really timely little almost progress reports on where the Bears are at.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. And I mean, listen, there's not going to be big hitting sessions or anything like that when you have another opponent in and you're going to be playing a game against them. But it's something different when you're going through the kind of rigmarole of camp to have something different and to have something that you can kind of measure yourself against is a great. Yeah. It's not, you know, everyone on the defense sees the same plays, and oftentimes they're forced to watch the same play because they don't really want them trying to take over. And it's tiresome. It is. It's boring and it's repetitive, and people get sick of it. And it's great to have a couple of little practices, just something different, a different look, something to get your juices going a little bit.
You get some of those one-on-one sessions that are really, really competitive. Yeah. And then obviously some of the team stuff, you get to learn a little bit about where your flaws are. Look, like Ben's got really impressive leadership qualities to him. What I'm fascinated to see is how you make the initial impression that you made through April and May and early June, and now you have to get guys to uphold the standards that you've set, right? Like, it's very easy to set standards. It's much harder to uphold them, and they're going to have to do that day by day. I think he feels really confident with the coaching staff he's assembled, and from my reporting, you know, since he was hired, that seems to be the thing around the league that people are talking about, that this is a really sturdy assistant coaching staff, right? You've got a coordinator in Dennis Allen who can take the reins of the defense, and you don't have to lose sleep wondering whether he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
You've got guys around you with Antoine Randall, Eric Bieniemy on offense that can help steer the ship. There's some really, really good coaches here and a good blend of youth and experience that they're going to lean on. And Ben, I think, has to be aware that this head coaching job is different than anything he's ever done. And it's very different in a market like this where every word you say, every move you make will be scrutinized.
I think it is. It was either his introductory news conference or shortly thereafter, he talked about the idea of the quarterback and the play caller having sort of the same vision of the field. And the only way you get to that was watching tape together.
Yeah.
He planned on breaking down a ton of tape where they can look at it together, talk it through, and Caleb can come to an understanding of the way the play caller is thinking the game.
I
thought that was excellent.
There's no question. And you have to do that in a setting that builds trust where neither side can be defensive. And you got to be really open-ended on like, hey, coach, this doesn't really work for me. I don't see it the way you do. And we can try to force feed this, but it's just not going to work. Or, hey, quarterback, like these are the expectations. And when this play is designed, the ball's got to come out now, right? Like you can't wait another second and a half. Otherwise, you're on your behind and you're adding to that 68 sack total that you had as a rookie, and you've got to understand what the expectations are. And so I go back many, many times to what Ryan Poles said the day that Ben Johnson was introduced, where he said, Ben will challenge Caleb to be a professional football player. And it was like kind of this whoa moment where you're like, well, what is, you know, what happened last year?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And so now you've got a coach that's going to do that, and Caleb has to have buy-in. You can give him the excuses with Waldron and Eberflus, and now it's like this has to work, dude.
Was it a wasted year for his career?
I hate saying wasted year because I think all these experiences are growth oriented, you know, and like I think Caleb was in some moments last year where we got to see the late game hunger and like the late game, this isn't too big for me moment. We talked for years about Justin Fields not meeting those moments with the game on the line, and Caleb did that a few times last year. Obviously, they had a field goal blocked against the Packers, didn't get a game-winning drive there. They didn't end up winning the game in overtime when they scored two touchdowns in the last couple minutes there. But you saw him rise up and meet those moments. They don't forget, they scored a touchdown late in the Washington game after having putrid offense for three quarters. They took the lead in the final seconds of that game.
They won the game.
Then
they found a way to lose.
And so, like, those things are not wasted because those build belief in your teammates. Those build belief in yourself that, you know, I can do this on this level. And that's what this position comes down to so often. Once you master everything else, it's like, okay, here's the fourth quarter. Here's the last 7 minutes. It's a one-score game. Go do something with it. Make sure we walk out of here with a win. And I think getting those experiences for Caleb were really beneficial.
And I think that we've heard the hunger to be coached and all that stuff from him. I don't know how to say this because I want to be careful, but he has always had like a supportive coaching situation.
Sure.
And that's, he went to Oklahoma and he transferred to USC because he was connected to a coach that he felt was there for him and supporting him. And he struggled at different times. It wasn't all perfect. Won the Heisman as a junior, struggled in his senior year, or his, was that his junior year? I lose track of life. But anyway, comes out, gets the NFL, and here he is. And all of a sudden, the support system doesn't seem like it's working. Feels like the Bears are a mess.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how hard coaching, or how, you know, does Ben Johnson is a math guy. He's a science guy. He's a technology guy. He's the, you know, not that he doesn't have humanity, but he wants this, and look at it like this. And I don't know that he's going to be there with a lifesaver. Mm-hmm. Hey, son, like, suck on a lifesaver. You'll feel better about life.
Right.
I don't know that he's that kind of feel good, you know, lovey-dovey.
You're all over it. I mean, you are. You're all over it. This is going to be fascinating to see how those personality types mesh, and they've got to build trust quickly, because it is a thing where both sides are going to have to give a little bit, but they are going to be who they are going to be, and you've got to make that work somehow. And you know, I think it was Cole Kmet who said in the spring that Ben isn't detail oriented. He's obsessed with details.
Yes.
Like, to a level where it's like, oh God, like there may be some OCD in here with how precise he wants every little piece of the offense. But I've said that Ben comes in with the credibility of, hey guys,
Number one offense in the league.
Let me show you the 68 touchdowns we scored last season in Detroit. And let me tell you why I'm obsessed with the details, because this is the results it produces. And boy, did the people in Detroit have a lot of fun last year watching that weekly fireworks show of touchdown, 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 touchdown all over the field. So there's a method to the madness. Yes. You've just got to get it to resonate with each individual player, and in particular with the quarterback. And I think what you're hinting at there is whether Caleb can thicken his skin enough to take some really, really abrasive coaching at times, right? Yes. Like, it's going to need to be abrasive for the Bears to get this thing launched properly.
One of the great moments of the offseason is, you know, the early part of what we've seen is he's got to get rid of the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to tell you, there are so many times when you were watching them and you were – we talked to Jim Miller at one point, the former Bears quarterback, our Jim Miller, and he was saying – that when you watch the play where DJ walks off the field and sits down, the reason he did it is because he's on the sidelines waiting for the football, which should be in his hands, and Caleb hasn't released it yet. And he knows that the moment's gone, and he's frustrated, mm-hmm. and he walks off the field and sits down. Now, I want to run that by DJ if we get a chance to do that, and we've saved the cut because we want to play it for him. But I think that's probably an accurate description of exactly what happened at that point. And again, you got a rookie quarterback, mm-hmm. and you got a veteran receiver, and it's true. Like, you got to get rid of the ball. And, you know, it's great you're not throwing picks, but you can't take that many sacks. That's a bad idea. And he took a lot of sacks in part because he didn't get rid of the ball as quickly as you need to in the NFL. And like, your athletic ability will allow you to extend a play, to move around in the college game. I don't know that the speed of players in the league allows you to do those sort of things. Now, he had some great freelance moments. I'm not saying he didn't. Yeah. But you can't live like that in the NFL.
You can't live like that. You have to have that in your bag of tricks, but you can't live like that. And I think that's been a consistent theme from anybody not attached to the Bears who's watched Caleb Williams extensively and said, like, this is really special stuff that you do. You can't make it your go-to weapon on every play, on every drive. You've got to be able to live within structure. You've got to understand timing. You've got to understand that this offense that you're going to play in a lot of times is going to be take the snap, get ball to playmaker, let playmaker get you 8 yards, and then and let's see what's next on the call sheet, right? And so that, like, that's going to be some of the rhythm that Ben and Caleb have to find together. And Caleb's going to have to understand this is the whole concept of command at the quarterback position in the NFL is every single play has its own set of demands, and you have to know when you break that huddle what this play needs to do for you. And again, like, when it comes time to put on the cape and do the special things, go do them, but understand that when the play is called, it is for a specific purpose, and you better be aware of what that purpose is and go get it. The other thing with Ben that I love, and I love talking to him about this in the spring, is this, you know, Detroit concept of going for it on fourth down all the time.
Yes.
Once you ingrain that into your identity, it also changes who you are on third down. Because if it's third and eight, 5 yards is fine.
Yeah.
Because you know you can go to fourth and three, and you have your call sheet and the things you can lean on. And so now all of a sudden, third and long doesn't become as stressful. It's like, okay, we can live with this check down for 5 yards because we know we've got something in our back pocket that's going to pick up the first down on fourth and shorter. And, you know, so that's going to be interesting to see how they kind of navigate that as well, because I think that is part of Ben's DNA, and he's going to bring that to Chicago pretty quickly.
That's fascinating to me. Are you saying that it's not Dan Campbell that's the riverboat gambler? Maybe
I think it was a combination of the two of them, right? And that's why it worked so well, is because they both believed in the same things. But I do think that Ben loves the idea of, like, yeah, let's screw it. We're going for it here. We know the situation. We're very confident in who we are. Yeah. And you can do that when you've got the league's best offense. It's going to be interesting if they are just a middle tier offense, how aggressive they stay.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
To me, like, one of the great things about what Ben Johnson does is play action.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood why they couldn't do more play action. It didn't make any sense to me, because it will buy you a couple of seconds. It will buy you the chance to make a big play, a play down the field.
No question.
And I think that now you're going to that, but you're doing it, you don't have kind of the run. You got the 20th running back in the league, let's say.
I was going to say,
discussed earlier. So I don't know, you know, and you got a quarterback that hasn't been underneath center. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it is, you know, I don't know how to feel. I love the idea of it. But are we understanding of what the issues are here before you get to that point?
You're, as a trained journalist, you're doing the journalistic exercise before the tidal wave of high pitch training camp, right? Because this is all of it, right? Like, you bring up another point about Caleb still working on his comfort working under center, you know, and how that has to marry up with mesh points in a play action game and all the things that come with that. And so a lot of this stuff is very much work in progress.
Yes.
And I think that the fan base here expects this to be ready-made. Put it in the microwave. Yeah. Let's go by the first preseason game. The offense is a finished product. And I think we consistently warn that, like, you know, be prepared for some bumps in the road until Halloween, right? Like, as you're trying to get everything acclimated, the play action thing is going to be a staple of this offense. There's no question.
Yeah.
And it has to be behind a running game that is effective, and a running game has to be effective with these three interior guys that you brought in to help save the day for your quarterback, but who also have to be grinders in the running game to get that thing moving.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the funner things about training camp, is you're finally going to see these guys in pads.
Yeah.
And I mean both sides of the line of scrimmage. You know, the problem the Bears had is they did not win the line of scrimmage. That was a huge problem for them a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how well they're set up to do that. And I think they are. I think they've improved.
Yeah.
And they've got some veteran players. I think they'll be good at it. But, you know, Joe Tooney, a guy like that should solidify a lot of this. You got a center you're paying big dollars to. That should help solidify some of this. I don't know that I trust everything to work out without any kind of, the whole Ozzie thing and how cool it is. Oh my God, he's going to be a left tackle. Look, they got a left tackle. Tap the brakes on that one a little bit. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying that's not how the guy was sold.
Sure.
Maybe they saw something different, but I'm not sure he's a left tackle to begin with.
He better be.
Well, he's going to have to be.
Because you used premium draft capital. That's a round two pick. That's not day three. That's not Braxton Jones, day three flyer. We're gonna see if this works. And you know, hey, it did work for a couple of years, and we got serviceable play out of it. Like, you have to find yourself a starting left tackle pretty quickly. And you know, they've been very forthright at Hal's Hall and saying, look, like, we don't want this to drag out through the entire month of August. We want to know who our five are and then be able to build from there. And you bring up another point. What does offensive line depth look like here?
Right.
You know, that tackle position, we don't know Braxton Jones' situation. We don't know what Karan Amagaji looks like in a training camp. We don't know much about Ozzie Trapillo. So
now you want to talk about prime draft capital. There's a guy, Amagaji, that you used a high pick on because you thought he was something, and there's no evidence to that at all. And
not
it
yet.
Doesn't mean it can't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he can't be that. It just means it's not shown, and Braxton Jones is hurt, by the way. He's got to build his body up, but he's got a leg issue. Don't worry about it. It'll all work out.
You're going to be looking at an injury report on report day where you're going to be like, what's going on here, right? Like, is Colson Loveland clear for full activity?
Yeah.
What's the story with Luther Burden? How is Braxton Jones doing? Do we know if Kyler Gordon is going to be able to participate in an entire training camp? It looks like, from things I've seen on social media, that he's been back up and running after missing a good portion of the offseason program. But that injury report's going to be a daily watch list with some of those high profile names that are already there. And then obviously, you know, as well as anyone, that when camp goes on, there's always additions and then it tests who you are.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you could hear Old Spice Fiji Antiperspirant, what would it sound like? First, you'd start with Fiji Antiperspirant's amazing scent of palm trees. Add pure notes of fresh coconut and layer on 24/7 odor and sweat protection. You won't hear any dyes or parabens because with Fiji, you won't have any. So while your regular antiperspirant sounds like this, Old Spice Fiji sounds like this. Sounds like it smells amazing.
This is Andrew Perloff with an Odyssey Sports Minute. We were all confused last NFL offseason when the Atlanta Falcons signed quarterback Kirk Cousins and then drafted another quarterback in the top 10. Turns out, Cousins was confused as well. In a new documentary show on Netflix, Cousins says he wouldn't have left the Vikings for the Falcons if they knew they were going to do that. Hard to feel bad considering Cousins made hundreds of millions of dollars, but now he's a backup to Michael Penix. It goes to show, the NFL is a very tough business, even for Pro Bowl quarterbacks. I'm Andrew Perloff.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We'll build restrooms. We'll make this a place that people want to come and spend time.
I actually think that that is a good idea for new Bears Stadium. That was Bears President Kevin Warren. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And I got a couple of reports. So I got two sources about this. One from our friend Carrie, who's been keeping us updated, Carrie Wolovic, on Twitter. So he sent me some information about the survey that the Bears sent out to season ticket holders about what they want in a new stadium. Jack underscore BFR on Twitter also posting the seating chart for the Bears' new stadium in Arlington Heights. At least that is from him.
I like that.
And it looks like it's not quite a horseshoe. I want to say it's there's probably, if you were to picture a horseshoe or like the Ohio State design is what I think of, fill in the right side more, but not totally. And then fill in the left side a little more. So it's essentially partially open on the upper piece on both sides. I am not good at trying to describe shapes, but essentially it is an oval with the sides cut out, kind of like an onion. All right, that does it. I got there. But the point is, they sent out a survey that I was told took about 20 minutes to fill out. And I'll read to you what I have. The Bears are a proud part of the community for over a century and have shared plans to build a new enclosed stadium located in Chicagoland.
Oh, they're not even getting specific yet.
I understand. So the new Bears Stadium would host Bears home games, serve a variety of community needs, and attract approximately 20 top-tier sports and entertainment events each year from around the world. I think that is a fair assessment of what they want to do. I don't think that's overly ambitious.
The number 20, you're saying, outside of the actual football games?
Correct. And also serve community needs. You know what I want to see? High school playoff games.
Ooh, that would be nice.
People are always like, oh, you're from Texas. You want everything to be like it. No, but in this case,
yes,
I do. Host high school playoff games. That would be fantastic. So it also says, designed to enhance the fan experience, the stadium would feature improved seating opportunities and upgraded amenities, including better concessions, expanded concourses, modern technology, and more. Technology and stuff. It's a throwback for those who know. The survey is designed to gather your feedback, especially regarding seating options and pricing. So that seemed to be a part of this. They talked about a membership program. Saying a membership program is used commonly by NFL teams. Under such a program, purchasing a membership would involve a one-time fee, which grants the buyer both the right and the responsibility to purchase season tickets for that seat for the lifetime of the new stadium.
Seat license.
Correct, but they don't call it that. So how much is a membership fee? Membership fees would vary depending on the seat's location and type, typical. Factors such as proximity to the field and seating level would influence the cost. So then they have other ways that you can pay for it. Interest-free installments for a specified amount before the stadium opens. Financed installments with interest over an extended period of time, like 5 or 10 years, and a down payment or due up front. So what other members' benefits would you get? Kind of like season ticket holders getting the survey. This is common. I would say a lot of teams do this type of thing. As a member, you would have the ability to transfer or sell your license to family, friends, or a third party subject to terms and conditions. Other potential benefits could include recognition within the new stadium and first right of refusal for purchasing tickets to select other stadium events. All of that sounds great, right? I don't think I've heard anything that would make me concerned.
It all sounds pretty standard, to be honest.
Right, like if you're a Cubs season ticket holder, for example, I've known some of those, you get, I think, preferred, or at least if there's a concert or something like that, you get either a special presale or you get access to more opportunities for those, or maybe at a different price. Feel free to chime in here on the text line and Twitch chat if you want, because I know we have a lot of season ticket holders who help. So I appreciate that. So it says, a new Chicago Bears stadium may offer reserve seating, premium reserve seating, club seating, small group seating, 4 to 6 seats, or luxury suites, over 12 seats. Reserve seating locations will include access to standard concessions, restrooms, that type of thing. The purchase of a reserve seat would include regular season Bears home games, other options as well. Because, again, I'm getting this from other people, so I don't have all of the language. Reserve seat buyers would purchase tickets for playoff games and other events. So then they want to make sure that you know no pricing decisions or anything official has been finalized. So I feel like that is fair. And the stadium design that I am seeing in this is similar to what we've seen online. So again, that's multiple people reporting the same picture.
I want to point out 847 on the text line says, I received the survey too, and I only bought a single game ticket last year, not season tickets. So maybe this is more widely distributed than we thought as we discuss the Bears' new stadium and a survey that was sent out that Layla Rahimi got her hands on here on Rahimi and Harris.
It came into my clutches. And I tend to release information from my clutches and give it to you guys. So that's what we're doing. I also appreciate them sending it, if this is the case, to anybody who bought a ticket, for example, or if you have season tickets. Listen to your paying customers. Doesn't that make sense?
Give them a voice. Because honestly, what you don't want to happen is terrible decisions to be made and fans be like, why were we not consulted?
Well, and let's face it, the first time I thought of the phrase lifetime of the stadium, I'm thinking that could be 30, 40 years.
I was thinking 25.
When you consider the age of Soldier Field, for example.
Well, that's a special case, I believe.
But still.
Yeah.
This is not like something that they get to take multiple swings at over, I would say, a 40-year span.
Oh, no. With how much it's going to cost to build this stadium?
Bingo.
You better get it right.
So that's it. So for research purposes, please note, yeah, that no pricing decisions or something else have been finalized. And again, I don't have all the language because I'm getting this from other people. So it talks about club seats. It goes on to talk about the small group seating. It tries to diagram it on the draw out the picture, the illustration of the stadium that you would get. Luxury suites, for example, would offer private seating for suite amenities such as a private lounge area, decor, fully equipped service area, and wet bar.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you remember when those were popular at your like house in the 70s, the wet bar? Hey, we got a sink on a sink. Oh, yeah? How about the sink over here?
I just love how in-depth this sounds like it's going to be.
I really appreciate how in-depth it is. I like the idea of being able to tell people exactly what they think they can get.
Oh, this is interesting. 847's pointing out that my survey asked what section of the stadium I might be interested in and at a certain price point. If I answered not interested, it would ask again at a smaller prices until I answered possibly interested. So they're gathering loads of data to understand what the people who have been paying for tickets might be willing to pay for tickets in a new stadium.
I wouldn't call it a breaking point per se, but I would say that that's a good way to understand, okay, well, at what price are you interested? Again, anytime you can get a group of people to answer a question like this and it's done in an honest, seemingly honest way, I think that's really good. 847, I would ask you, at what price were you possibly interested? That would be my next question. So it talks about these suites and it says purchasing a luxury suite would include tickets to Chicago Bears home games played and also something else purchased. And again, this is cut off for me, but it would provide priority access to games and most other stadium events. For research purposes, again, assume that this is included in a membership. Please note that no pricing. They keep saying it over and over again, which I think is really good.
No pricing has been determined.
In bold, no pricing decisions or program has been finalized. I like the fact that they're very honest about this. So then you have these options that you could check. Reserve seating, premium reserve seating, club seating, other premium seating like a VIP club or small group seating. Or I would not consider purchasing a seasonal seating option at a new Chicago Bears stadium. So then they go into the membership, as we discussed. So this is what I got information-wise via the Bears survey that they sent to season ticket holders. So then they also just gauge your interest as to going to a different place to watch. How would you characterize your interest in attending Bears home games at a new stadium? Let's do it as a group, shall we? The options are definitely interested, likely interested, possibly interested, or not interested. I am definitely interested.
I am possibly interested. That's a long hike. That's where I am in my life.
It's 9 guaranteed home games max a regular season.
But they're asking just how interested are you in going to a game, right? In
yeah.
that question.
Well, it says in Bears home games.
Oh.
But I don't take it that seriously. I think one can figure.
No, I think for me, as a non-working covering the game, I'd probably go to one game just to be like, I've been to a game.
708 WrestleMania. Hell yeah. That would be awesome. Wrestling events are coming to Big 12 cities. They just announced.
That's one of the things that Kevin Warren mentioned by name when he talked about hosting events there. Final Fours, WrestleMania, concerts.
Smart to do so. But also, these are the types of things that other stadiums of this caliber hold. So that would make it make sense. Okay, guys, definitely, likely, possibly, or not.
See, I love going to games in person, but to me, like, if this is in Arlington Heights, I don't have a car. And, like, the me transporting to go over there as someone who lives in the city, that idea sounds awful. And then the train is probably going to be packed if there is one to go there. So that's probably it's probably going to be a no for me.
Yeah, I think the whole idea, though, is to make the transport easy, and there'll be, like, a metro going over there, you know, you would think.
I would love a public transportation option.
I believe Kevin, I could be wrong about this, but I believe Kevin Warren has addressed that they want that would be a part of the factor.
But here's the thing, as Cook County residents and as people who use public transportation, it's also on us to speak up about it.
Absolutely, 100%. But I would be interested for sure, because just as Marshall said, just to have the experience,
the novelty of it.
The novelty of it. You know, I'm more of a let me watch football at home guy to take in everything and the broadcast and everything. But I'd like to go to experience it for sure.
So the next question on the Bears survey that they sent season ticket holders is, when considering Chicago Bears home games, and not just season ticket holders, if you got a ticket too, thanks for everybody who are chiming in. When considering Chicago Bears home games at the new stadium, how would you plan to spend time before the event? Your options are tailgating offsite. Yes, that's me. Tailgating in a parking lot. Also me.
Oh, you're going to say yes to all of this.
Probably. Restaurant in the stadium. I mean, what are our restaurant options, guys?
We got to have restaurants in the stadium.
That's our project. As a show and as a listenership, we got to figure out what restaurants we want in the stadium. That we can do, right?
Well, it's going to be an original concept.
Maybe not.
I don't think they're going to have... Well... Now I'm thinking about it.
United Center.
Portillo's. Yep. There's
Portillo's at the stadium.
There's going to be Chicago staples in there.
Somebody get the Aurelio's original oven and transport it to New Bears Stadium.
But also, what's the name of the company that does the food for most places?
Oh, like Levy or Sodexo?
Yeah, they're going to have.
But they do that, though. They bring in local concepts.
Yeah, vendors. Yeah.
Okay, so your other options are, and I want you to think about this because we'll take a commercial break. We wanted to devote two segments to this. Bar in the stadium is a yes for me.
Oh, yeah.
Restaurant in stadium vicinity, possibly. Bar in stadium vicinity. Restaurant elsewhere in Chicagoland. Bar elsewhere in Chicagoland. Game day fan zone adjacent to the stadium. Is there a bounce house?
There's got to be all this stuff. There's got to be like a kid zone or everything.
Turnkey dedicated tailgating zone adjacent. So I found that to be interesting too. We will continue more on the Bears survey regarding their new stadium. I appreciate everybody chiming in. We'll have more next on Raheemi and Harris on The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We love talking to Mike Florio. He is the editor-in-chief, the creator of Pro Football Talk, and he'll throw out a theory or two along the way. He joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Mike, thanks for joining us on Raheemi and Harris on The Score. You can see him on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Hey, Mike.
Great to see you as always. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you. So, fun with headlines for you. I did not expect to see this one today. Bengals Joe Burrow says home burglary altered Batmobile plans, as they might really tend to do.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, I would have bought that Batmobile, but for the fact that they broke into my house. And This is one of the compelling storylines of the new season of quarterback. The second time they've done quarterback. Last year, they couldn't get enough or any quarterbacks to do it. But it's Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins for the second time this year. And Burrow's house got broken into while he was playing a Monday night game against the Dallas Cowboys. And it's a great inside look of how he found out about it. And he was thinking about buying a Batmobile, but he decided to take a step back at the time. And this is the balance that I think every pro athlete has to try to strike. And you can tell Burrow's not very comfortable with where he's at from the standpoint of having his life out there. But when you are one of the most prominent players in the NFL, one of the highest paid in the NFL, a guy who's been to a Super Bowl, a guy who's very charismatic and goes to Fashion Week in Paris, you're going to draw attention. And you can never have that attention on your own terms. That's the Aaron Rodgers dynamic. Hey, everybody, look at me. What the hell are you looking at? And I think Joe Burrow understands he can't pick and choose the attention he gets, but there's a certain amount of it that's unavoidable given the status he now enjoys.
I do want to follow up, though, because I know we giggle at the concepts of luxury here, but that is a very traumatizing thing. To get burglarized and you are a target when it comes to just what you said. I understand why. I think any athlete can really, or famous person, as we've seen with like Kim Kardashian, for example, can learn a lesson when it comes to knowing that that piece of it is a possibility. It will affect you.
Oh, absolutely. The idea that your space has been invaded, your life has been invaded, strangers have been into your home, have broken into your home, have taken your things. And in the moment that he first finds out about it, he doesn't know what's going to be there when he gets home. There may be nothing left for all he knows. I mean, it ended up being expensive jewelry, and that's what that crime ring was doing. They were smashing and grabbing. They were getting in, getting out quickly, getting the expensive stuff and going. But yeah, it's and you know, he explains away in one of the episodes, well, you know, it's all covered by insurance, but still there's an emotional and psychological trauma that comes from knowing that someone was in your house who shouldn't have been in your house and that person was there for nefarious purposes.
I look at what we talked about last week, Mike, with that mega bill that was just passed and now signed into law by Donald Trump and the gambling portion of that. Now I understand, according to something that you wrote yesterday, that they're already introducing legislation which would negate the fact that your losses are now taxed at a rate which doesn't make any sense from a practical standpoint for sports gamblers.
This is such a weird thing. And look, if people want to get mad because they interpret this as a political comment, I don't care. It's a comment about the political system. When you put a 940-page bill through that has a bunch of different provisions crammed into it, yeah, you're going to put some stuff through that maybe you wouldn't have voted yes for. And that's why they did it. Let's overwhelm the system with all of these provisions because individually, you know, this one might fail, that one might fail. This way we get everything we want in one fell swoop. And now they're doing the cleanup on aisle five because they're like, oh, wait a minute. We didn't really mean for that to happen. So there's new legislation now to undo this. And I don't know who lobbied for this. I don't know who wanted this. I don't know what the purpose of it is. But, you know, if I bet $100 gambling and I lose $100 gambling, it's a wash. Why am I limited to 90% of my losses when it's time to figure out how much money I made? So, you know, to multiply it out to a more reasonable number, 100,000 in losses for a year by a professional gambler, 100,000 in wins, that's not zero income. That's $10,000 in income from money you didn't actually make because every dollar you won was offset by a dollar you lost. But by limiting the deduction to 90% of the losses, it makes no sense. And now they're moving forward to try to fix the thing that probably never should have been in there in the first place.
I don't know if you've been following the law that was just passed in California, but they're trying to basically say you can't do fantasy sports anymore in California. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the attorney general has an opinion that the governor disagrees with, and I think it relates to how the law that currently exists is going to be enforced. And I remember that debate from years ago before the Supreme Court opened the floodgates for legalized gambling. The whole question of whether fantasy football is a game of chance or a game of skill. And if it's skill, it's legal for money. And if it's chance, it's not. And that was a whole thing that, you know, the interpretations by the various states allowed the DraftKings and FanDuels of the world to tremendously profit from these fantasy games. Remember, the first explosion of ads that drove everyone crazy was several years before the Supreme Court allowed sports betting in any state that wants it. It was the explosion of fantasy and daily fantasy for money because the law in the books was being interpreted as allowing it as a game of skill. Well, now all of a sudden, California, which has no legalized gambling, they're calling it a game of chance, at least the attorney general is, and it's going to set up for some interesting maneuverings because you're talking about, you know, a ton of money in a state that big.
This segment with Mike Florio is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. There's a story also that came out earlier today, Mike, about the status of Tampa Bay Buccaneers tackle Tristan Wirfs. Sources confirming to ESPN that he's expected to miss the regular season, at least the beginning of it, because of a knee injury, and he might be placed on the PUP list. What do you think this does for the Buccaneers? Because he's crucial to that team.
Oh, absolutely crucial. And look, this is one of the realities of all the time we spend in the offseason talking about who got better, who got worse, who's closed the gap with whoever they were chasing, who's the most talented team, who's not. Injuries don't get factored into that conversation, even though injuries are going to happen. We know they're going to happen. It's just a question of who they happen to, when they happen, how long they miss, and how good or not good the replacement player is. So now the Buccaneers, who quietly have one of the most talented teams in the entire league and are in position, you know, they've made it to the divisional round in recent years. They lost in the wild card round to the Commanders last year, but they won four straight division titles. The year they didn't win the division, they won the Super Bowl. They've had an incredible five-year run. This guy's one of the best tackles in the entire league. So they're going to have to scramble now. And at least they know that they've got to come up with a replacement for Tristan Wirfs into the regular season, quite possibly. But the reality is, once we get to training camp, the preseason, the regular season, guys are going to start dropping. And the better the player, the bigger the problem it's going to be for the team. And it really is a war of attrition. And the healthier teams, the good teams that stay healthy, they're far more likely to get a good playoff seed and set themselves up for success in the postseason.
Mike, I'm really curious as to your thoughts because we just had the first 15 players released of this year's NFL Top 100. And we got a long ways to go. It'll be, you know, another month before you get all the way to number one. But last year, the Bears only had two players on that list, Montez Sweat. I don't think he'll be back. And then a guy that doesn't have a job right now, Keenan Allen, who is their highest rated player. I don't see the Bears getting any players in this year. How seriously do players take this when they're filling out these surveys, voting for their top 20 players in the NFL? And how seriously should we take the results of it?
Well, I don't think we should take it seriously at all. And they basically relegated the thing to Twitter X right now. They don't even put it on NFL Network anymore. And, you know, they can say whatever they want. They want to enhance engagement, whatever. I think it's significant only when I see an outcome that is curious, like Tua Tagovailoa making it into the top 100, even though he only played 11 games last year and finished 21st among all quarterbacks in passing yardage. Like, there better be a lot of quarterbacks on that list along with Tua for him to justify being at number 91. But all we know about the process is what you said. They ask players to list their top 20 players, and then they take that top 20 and they turn it into the list of top 100. We don't know which players. We don't know when they're asked to do it. At some point during the prior regular season. Is it early? Is it late? We don't know how seriously they take it. We don't know how quickly. We don't know where they are when they do it. We don't know if they write it up, if they text it. And we don't know anything about it other than some number of players provide their top 20 players in the NFL. And when you think about it, like any of us, if we're going to come up with our top 20 players, we're going to miss a lot of guys. And there's going to be just some guys in the margins, picks number 16 through 20, who get mentioned on a few ballots here or there that end up getting in the top 100. So the whole thing has always been strange to me. I don't like the voting process. I don't like the lack of transparency. And I only pay attention to it, again, when there's an outcome that makes me say, boy, that even by these standards, that's an unusual outcome.
Mike, what do you think about the fact that Keenan Allen doesn't have a job yet?
Well, he's out there with Amari Cooper. I think there's some other veteran receivers. You know, as we get closer to training camp, we'll see if and when There's a contract offer. If you're not going to get, and I think every player who once got paid at or near the top of the market for his position has to go through this five stages of grief where he recognizes, I'm still doing the same job I've always done, but I'm getting paid like 10% of what I used to make. I don't want to do that. So I'm not going to be in the offseason program, and I'm not going to show up for the start of training camp, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to wait. That may be part of it, and it may just be that for teams out there that think they are set with younger, cheaper receivers, they get an injury, and then all of a sudden Keenan Allen's phone rings. But I think he'll end up somewhere. I think Cooper will end up somewhere. It's just a question of whether it's right out of the gates for camp or after somebody gets injured deeper into the process.
I also was entertained by the, and I guess it's because of the job that we do, the story about the radio host in Kansas City who body-shamed Patrick Mahomes. And it's funny because Caleb Williams is on record speaking, I believe it was on the St. Brown Brothers podcast, talking about how you need to be heavier than an Adonis body to play quarterback because of the hits you take. So, Kevin Keats,
I remember the year that Brett Favre lost like 20 pounds. And even though he never missed a game, there were comments by him during that season that, you know, it hurts a little bit more when you're thinner. It's a natural coat of armor that you have. And none of these great quarterbacks are going to win a Mr. Universe contest. That's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to prepare their bodies to deal with the fact that they're being chased around by very large and strong and fast men, and they need to elude them. And Patrick Mahomes has never failed to answer the bell. I don't care what he looks like with his shirt off. I care what he does with his shirt on and his helmet and his shoulder pads.
I think that's fair. Looking towards training camp, which we're a lot closer than I guess we want to even imagine, because some teams are starting up a couple of weeks from now or even shorter. What is the number one thing you are looking forward to once camp breaks for all 32 teams? Like where are your eyes immediately just naturally going?
Oh, well, you know, we've got hotspots where it comes to potential holdouts and contract issues, whether it's TJ Watt in Pittsburgh, Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati, Shamar Stewart in Cincinnati, James Cook in Buffalo, Terry McLaurin in Washington. And I'm probably missing some guys, but there are some unresolved contractual issues that could make news. Hell, Micah Parsons in Dallas, that's the big one, because we know what the Dallas Cowboys do. They drag their feet as long as they can, and I think they do it. So they'll be the first one that we talk about every day, every show, every decision made. Item one, Cowboys and Micah Parsons. So I think that drama is going to last for much of August for the Cowboys and for plenty of other teams.
Should we still be keeping an eye, Mike, on what happens with Trey Hendrickson and where that is, speaking of all of this?
Yes, absolutely. Because, look, the Bengals have a number that they put out there. I've heard it's in the neighborhood of $28 million per year. He wants a lot more than that. Will he hold out? Will he hold in? Ja'Marr Chase held in last year, and one of the things that wasn't well known, they did fine him for not practicing. You know, the Bengals just don't care. That was a point I made back in May when it seemed obvious Trey Hendrickson was going to skip the mandatory minicamp. The Bengals just don't care. They're not going to blink. Carson Palmer decided he'd had enough. They said, fine, sit home. We'll keep your money. If Trey Hendrickson wants to stay home, he'll be Hassan Reddick of last year. Reddick sat out all the training camp into the regular season. He lost millions of dollars that he's never going to get back. And he finally showed up with some face-saving contract with the Jets. It's not going to cause the Bengals to cave. You withhold services to get the team to cave. Some teams will cave, some teams won't. The Bengals will not cave. That just raises the stakes for Hendrickson.
I agree. And then we are having Ndamukong Suh on next because he's started a podcast talking about finances and I think trying to help athletes and just other people see the world a little differently with more financial knowledge. If you had to ask him a question, what would you ask?
Oh, which stock should I buy right now? I mean, I have to stay on the line and hear if he has any good tips. I mean, he hangs out with Warren Buffett. So he's doing it the right way. You know, so many guys, when they get life-changing money, and I would have done the same thing at that age because I grew up as close to the line between middle class and low class as possible. And so anytime I had money, I spent it. And I think guys who, you know, it burns a hole through their pocket because they're used to getting by with nothing. So when all of a sudden you have something, that is a burden. That is an obligation. What are you going to do with that money? How do you put that money to work? Do you bury it in the ground or do you burn it away, or do you find a way to make that money make money for you? And Sue's always been at the cutting edge of doing that and trying to get guys to understand the obligation that comes with having that kind of money.
Yeah, the phrase I always think of is follow your effort, not your passion. And I feel like Sue has done that in his career.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's good for him that he's trying to get people to understand it, because it's the kind of thing that I know for me, it makes my brain lock up. And it's really not that complicated. You have to be willing to take some risk, but it's a way. Anytime you can make money while you're sleeping, you're doing good things with your money.
Yes, that won't happen for me anytime soon. Mike Florio, thank you so much. As always, we appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Have a great week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.